one thing we want to be clear around here is that we preach the gospel of grace. You get righteousness not through the works that you do, but through the grace that Jesus Christ gives because He did the work for you. Jesus Christ did the work, and that is a work that is enough to save you from your sins. It's enough to cleanse you from your sins and give you His righteousness. That is what we preach, and we want that to be clear. We want that never, that message never to fail. That is one message we want to be around for until He comes back. We want to be preaching that. But I want to look at Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. I'm going to be reading from verse 9, and I'm going to jump into the first verses of chapter 57 also. I think it all goes together. And it's a sad conclusion that God, I think, had to arrive to. See, Judah was in a place where they were feeling very comfortable where they were. And they were feeling very comfortable without God. Because they had left God out. There was stuff in their way. There was idolatry. There were other people influencing them. And they were far from God, yet they didn't feel far from God. They felt comfortable. They felt good. And God had to then bring upon them what He had said, what He had warned them about, and that is another nation coming and defeating them and conquering them. And you know, that's a sad thing that it had to come to this point. But God has to do these things sometimes. And this is what He says in verse 9. He says, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest." His, talking about Israel, I believe, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the work that You've done on the cross. We thank You that You offer salvation to all that would come to You. We thank You, Lord, that You gave us the forgiveness of sins just because we trust and we give You our lives. Lord Jesus, help us now understand Your word and know Your will. Lord, give us the strength to not fall to peer pressure, but Lord, let us follow You as we should. We desire, Lord, for You to move among us and have free will in that area, Lord. If there's anybody here that is not a believer, that does not know You, Lord, if they're still in their sin, if they're going to die and be condemned, I pray, Lord, that You would open their eyes this morning, that they would awake and that they would wake to righteousness, Lord, that You would save them from their sin. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So He says, "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest." I think He's talking about the army that's going to come. He's talking about the outward kingdoms that are going to come and destroy Judah. He's saying, okay, y'all can come. And He gives them a reason. He says, why? Because the watchmen aren't doing their job. Those that were supposed to be watching aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Those that were supposed to be sounding out the alarm aren't doing it. And the whole nation is corrupted. And so, the conclusion, judgment has to come. Come on in. You know, this is the reality. This is a real truth that I think we can apply to us today, is that the watchmen are supposed to do a job. And if they don't do it, beasts come in. In the Bible, I think it's very clear that different kingdoms had a type of rule that wasn't the physical rule that we see, but there was a spiritual ruling behind it. We see that in Daniel, we see that in other places. Even in Isaiah, it talks about the king of Babylon and referring to different people. In Ezekiel also, it talks about something behind these kingdoms, which is spiritual forces, spiritual evils, and we know that there's a battle with us, and it's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities in high places. It's against spiritual things. And these are real beasts that will come and destroy. You know, Jesus says about the devil that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And don't make any mistake, the devil does not love you. The devil is not on your side. The devil doesn't care about you. Even if somebody out there is a worshiper of the devil, listen, the devil doesn't care about you. The devil doesn't have your best interest in mind. The devil wants to kill. The devil wants to destroy. This is the reality. Peter talks about it, and he describes the devil. He describes Satan as a roaring lion. He is a beast of the field, a roaring lion that is watching out, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he wants to do. So, this could be spiritual powers that are trying to hurt. They operate very subtlety. They operate in a way. You think about Satan and the way he operates, and a lot of people imagine him as, you know, some big old monstrous, ugly person that, you know, has different things in his hands and horns out of his head. But that's not Satan. It's not Satan. Satan isn't something or somebody that you're walking by and you see and you automatically fear and put up your guard. No, Satan, he operates very subtly. He appears as an angel of light, as ministers of righteousness. He seems like they're doing good and they're putting on a show, and they subtly bring you in. It's like the lion, right? Whenever he goes to attack, he doesn't just start running out in the open. They kind of creep up and they get real close as they can without being seen, and then they get you. Well, that's the same thing. This is how they operate. The monsters, these beasts, they're trying to devour, and they don't do it openly. They do it very subtly. A lot of times it's very subtly. They devour truth. They devour holiness. They devour these things, and they exploit weakness. Isn't that true? We see that even in lions. I mean, whenever they attack something, they're going to attack the weakest one. It's just the easiest thing. Anybody in here that thinks you can do it alone, you're mistaken. You don't need to just be alone. You need to have a good, strong fellowship group. You need to be strong together with somebody else, because Satan will attack people that are alone. And so be careful. Be careful, because these things exploit weakness. And a lot of times they do it by blurring things that God made clear. There's a lot of things that are trying to destroy you. There's a lot of things that are trying to destroy our society. There's a lot of things that are trying to destroy this world. They're wanting destruction. Again, this is their desire to destroy. And they do it in a lot of different ways. Sometimes they blur the lines. And God has made very clear lines. Man and woman. It's a very clear line. But evil has gotten crept in, and it's confusing the lines. It's confusing very clear distinctions. What is a family? And how do you raise a family? All these things. God details out very clearly how He wants you to live. God has a blueprint of how you should live your life and how your life should be, what you should love and love truth. And He tells you what's good and what's evil. But it gets to the point where when evil comes in, what they're trying to do is they're trying to confuse it, and they're trying to call things that are good, evil. And they're trying to call things that are evil, good. This is what the beasts want to do. They want to devour, and they want to destroy. Now, what do we need? I think we need some protection. And that's where we need watchmen. And this is what God is saying here. He's saying, this is what's happening. These beasts, they want to devour. They want to come in, and they're going to come in. There should be watchmen that are watching.
Amen.
Right? And the watchman, his job is to sound the alarm and say, hey, there's problem, there's difficulty, there's something coming. You need to be aware. And yet, he says, the watchmen aren't doing it. He says, his watchmen are blind. What good is a blind watchman? I mean, that's the point. A watchman is supposed to be aware. He's supposed to be seen. He's supposed to be keeping an eye out. And he says, the watchmen are blind. They're not seeing the evil. They're not seeing the wrong. They're not seeing what's going on. And this I think could be happening right now with us. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. And that doesn't mean they're stupid. It means they're dumb. They're not making noise. I mean, a dog is supposed to bark when there's danger, right? Something's coming. A dog barks. That's what you expect. But the dog isn't barking. He's dumb. He's not saying anything. He's not warning like he should. And listen, in churches, there's preachers that aren't preaching danger. They're not preaching saying, hey, sin is evil and sin is going to ruin your life and sin is going to destroy your life and you need to stay away from sin. And if preachers aren't preaching these things, they're not doing their job as a watchman. This is just the truth. If you as a parent aren't telling your kids that you need to watch out for certain things, you need to stay away from kids that are telling you to come take drugs. You need to stay away from kids that are telling you you need to be in a relationship and love each other in a way where you give each other your bodies. You need to tell your children, stay away from these people. You're not doing your job as a watchman.
Amen.
You have to warn. We can't live our life thinking that everything is perfect and beautiful and harm is never going to come our way, or there's nothing trying to attack us, there's nothing trying to destroy us, because the reality is there is something trying to destroy you. There's something trying to destroy your kids. And if you don't tell them about it, if you don't warn them about it, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else is going to harm them. You have to warn. You have to talk. You have to be a watchman. And in this case, there were no watch. The watchmen were blind. They were ignorant. They were like dumb dogs that cannot bark. They were sleeping, lying down, loving slumber. They wanted to rest. They'd rather sleep. They'd rather just be at ease. And boy, this is a danger for somebody who's supposed to be in the spot of a watchman, right? You are there on enemy lines, or you're right there at the line, and you're supposed to be watching for enemies that are trying to come in. And I mean, is that allowed? Even in our day, in the army, in the military, is it allowed for a watchman to be caught sleeping? No, a watchman, the purpose is that he stay awake. Even to allow other people to sleep, right? Because the watchman is there for a purpose. He's got to be watchful. But they love to sleep. And you know, I think the desire for us to live at ease and comfort and just be able to lay down and relax is so strong that we forget that we're watchmen. We're watchmen. We have to be on guard. Jesus tells us, Christians, all of us, there's no exceptions. Every single one of us who's a follower of Jesus Christ, you are to watch and pray. Not to fall asleep, not to be weary in well-doing. You're supposed to be watchful. And you're supposed to continue. This is our calling.
Amen.
He says another thing in verse 11. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're greedy dogs, which can never have enough. All they're seeking is they want more and more, and they want stuff for themselves. See what he says? He says they are shepherds that cannot understand. They don't understand what a shepherd is. A shepherd isn't somebody who is just seeking his own good, who isn't somebody that's just seeking to make himself better and get more and all about himself. The shepherd shouldn't be greedy, desiring his own. A good shepherd is one that gives his life for the sheep, as Christ said. And they don't understand what a real shepherd is. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. They're all looking for their own. They're all looking for their own. And I think we all need to be careful of this, because this can creep in on all of us. There's somebody you should be shepherding. There's somebody that is in your life that you should be helping, right? You should be guiding. Maybe somebody's looking to you. And like I said, if you have children, look, you're in that position. You're shepherding them. You're going to be there. Pastors, you got to shepherd. You got to take care of them. And there's no room for you to say, well, what about me? It's all about me. I want more. You can't think about yourself in this condition, in this situation. You have to think about others. And Jesus is our perfect example of this. And that's why we follow him. But when we fail at this, we put others in danger. Amen. And this is what the watchmen of Judah had done. This is what the religious leaders, anybody that calls themselves ministers, we have all these people around the world that call themselves spiritual leaders and ministers and guidance and all these people that are trying to influence other people, but they're not telling them what they need to hear. You're a danger to them.
Amen.
You're the blind leading blind, and you're both going to fall into the ditch.
Amen.
And it's a danger.
Amen.
He says in verse 12, they say, come ye, I will fetch wine and we will fill our houses with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. They're there causing people to pretend and think that everything's okay. These watchmen who were supposed to be sounding out an alarm, instead of doing that, they're singing a lullaby of protection, of everything's fine, you're protected. And they're singing a lullaby of ease and pleasure. Let's live in pleasure. I mean, come on, live life up, live it up. This is the lullaby they're singing, and the people, the city, the kingdom is falling to sleep. They're not aware. They're not in, hey, the enemy is attacking mode. They're not prepared. They're falling asleep because the watchmen are telling them everything's okay. Those that are supposed to be, seeking the best interest for their souls, the ones that are supposed to be guarding and watching and caring for them are saying everything's okay. And it might be under a desire not to offend. Maybe there's pressure, like was said this morning, that there's pressure not to say certain things. But listen, if the things that you're not saying, that the things that you're keeping back are putting them in more danger and more harm, then you have to be willing to offend at a certain point. It's necessary because you're a watchman.
Amen.
And the watchman We're failing Judah at this point. They failed Judah, and Judah was in a bad situation. Where now God says, okay, beasts, come and destroy. Because the watchmen are not doing their job. And so I think this, just practically, us looking at it, we need to be good watchmen. We need to see danger and we need to speak truth. We need to stand firm. We need to be able to comfort. But we need to be able to tell the truth, not just seek to be, easy speakers or make life easier for ourselves. The truth is we have a job to do, and that is to speak the truth.
Amen.
That is our job. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. And the gospel is offensive because the gospel teaches that you have to deny your own life to gain Jesus. And that's hard. It's hard for everybody. It's hard for anybody because we have to give up ourselves. We have to give up our life. And it'll mean differently for different people because you might have this life that you have to give up and somebody else has another life that they have to give up. But we all have to give up our life. And not everybody wants to hear that message. Not everybody. But since God is saying, hey, we're going to allow this evil to come, I'm going to now, the beasts of the field are going to come and devour. Verse 1 of chapter 57 says this. It says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. The merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. So, God had made a decision. He said, okay, we're going to allow this evil to come. It's going to come upon them because the watchmen haven't been doing their right duty. They haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. And now Israel is living, right? Judah is living without God. And they're complacent in that state. They're fine. They're partying. They're living every day as if it's okay and it's going to be better tomorrow. And they have God far from them and it doesn't affect them. And now God says, okay, then evil is going to come. And so he makes a decision and he takes the righteous away. He actually allows the righteous to perish. He says, merciful men are taken away. So there you go. You've got some preachers of righteousness and they're preaching and he allows them to be taken away. There you go. You've got some preachers that are preaching righteousness and he allows them to perish. And he's expecting something. He's expecting that whenever the righteous people are taken away, this would be something that everybody considers in their heart and it would make them change. But they don't. They don't.
Amen.
And this is the truth. And this is the truth about all death, I believe. All death is supposed to be a teacher. As he talks about in Ecclesiastes 7:2, it says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. The living should take a lesson from those who die. This is the reality. And especially if at this moment in this history, when the righteous people were dying, the living should have been aware and said, hey, what's going on? They should have laid it to their heart. They should have taken it to heart. They should have considered it. They should have thought about it and understood what is going on. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. Sometimes whenever the righteous die, sometimes whenever death is around us, and this happens all the time. Whenever somebody in your family or somebody close to you, somebody at work, somebody that you know dies, this should be a teaching moment. God wants you to learn from this. God expects you to ponder it deeply and let it shape how you live. This is what God expects. He expects death to make you consider the end of your way. Because this is the end of all of us, right? Everybody's going to have to face death sooner or later. And God says, well, why would you go around to parties all the time and not go to funerals? Don't you just want to live life as if everything's great and there's going to be no consequences and there's going to be no problems tomorrow? But God's saying that's not wise. That's not a wise way to live. It would be better for you to consider these things that are happening. And at this moment, he says, I'm allowing the righteous to perish. And I'm expecting people to lay it to heart. I'm expecting those that are in Judah to see this and to think, what is going on? And how am I living my life? And am I right with God? And this is the truth.
Amen.
And you know, I did, this is what came to my mind whenever I was pondering and considering what happened, even this week. And I mean, we've seen a lot of deaths and it's been public. I mean, this is the thing. It's not like one life is more valuable than the other's lives, but this is just a real public thing that has happened these past few weeks. I mean, somebody getting stabbed on a train station. This is death and it's real and you see it and it hurts and it should make you ponder it in your heart. What is going on?
Amen.
It should make you think. It should make you consider your ways. Because you should consider every day that you have as pure grace. It's pure mercy. Every single day that you're alive, you are in the mercy of God because you shouldn't be alive. Because of your sin, God should have gotten rid of you a long time ago as me. But He allowed us to live. And boy, we should be very grateful and very thankful to God because of that. But here He says, none lays it to heart. Nobody is seeing that this is happening, and nobody's saying, wow, God, thank you. And this is how we can get. We can get to a point where death just doesn't seem like it bothers us. But it should. It should be something that afflicts us. It should be something that hurts. It's not something that we become insensitive to. Careless indifference seems like something that they were doing, and God wasn't happy about that. He wanted them to allow the death of the righteous to touch them. I think some of them might have gone to the wrong conclusions. And I think what happened to this public speaker whose life got ended in front of everybody to see, I think this should be something that causes a lot of people to consider also the end of their ways. And yet we see that wrong conclusions are come to. And I think wrong conclusions are come to not only by unbelievers, but even by believers. Even believers who see these things start questioning and thinking, maybe being righteous doesn't pay off. Anybody think, how could it be that God would allow this to happen? And you start, you know, be careful when you start questioning God, because listen, you can maybe have some trying to reason things out, but be careful when you question God in a way where you think God is doing something wrong.
Amen.
Because what Psalms tells us is to trust in the Lord at all times. That is at all times, even when you don't understand what's going on, even if something doesn't seem right to you, you still put your trust in the Lord. So don't question God in a way that's going to make you go away from God. Don't question God in a way that's going to make you stop trusting God. Don't question God in that way.
Amen.
And I think a lot of people are looking at this and thinking that this proves somehow a point that you trust in God and God can't save you or something like that. And that is far from the truth. No, God, the message that God is trying to get across may be, hey, I'm the one in control. And even in an example that we have in Isaiah is that He allowed the righteous to perish in order for them to be at peace. And to be spared from the evil to come. So we don't know what God's conclusion is. We don't know why God does all these things. But one thing we do know is that we can trust the Lord at all times. And the one thing that we can know is that anybody's death should be a teaching moment for us. Sometimes it teaches us the brevity of life. Just the simple fact that James says your life is but a vapor. You know all those people that vape nowadays? They're dumb. Not the speaking dumb, but the real dumb. You know, blowing bringing it into their lungs and then blowing it out. But you see it. It goes out and then it's gone. It disappears. James says, that's your life. That's your life. It's that quick.
Amen.
And to you, and you know, especially the younger you are, you're thinking, man, I just can't wait to be this. You know, don't wait to be this old. That's going to come by and go by, and you're going to see yourself barely even being able to get up out of bed in the morning quickly, because life is short. And you know what this should teach us is that we should worry about what we're doing right now. A lot of times we get to thinking, oh, but there was so much potential and there could have been. But it's not about what could be. And it's not even about what could be about your life tomorrow. It's about what are you doing right now. That's all that matters. Why are you worried about the past? And why are you worried about all the things that you think you can do in the future? Worry about what you're doing right now. And whenever we see death, That's what it reminds us about. It reminds us that you have life in this moment and it matters what you're doing right now. Amen. And if you're running from God, that should be something that alerts you and says, hey, you're going to meet your Creator soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? The death of a godly person, I think, is a call to examine our own path. It's a call to examine what you're doing with your life. And this is right. This is just expected. God expects that whenever somebody dies and there's a death that affects you, it should change the way you live. It should make you consider the path that you're going. Amen. There's a lot of... sometimes, and I think that is a dangerous danger here, that the righteous were perishing and no man was laying it to heart. They weren't pondering this seriously. They could have been rejoicing. They could have been happy. Oh, I'm so glad that preacher is gone. That is a very incorrect way of thinking. Amen. Those people that were actually voicing out the dangers that you're in were more needed and necessary for you than those people that were applauding you in all the sins that you were partaking of.
Amen.
They truly cared for your soul when they told you this homosexuality is a sin. They cared for your soul. Amen. More than those that are applauding you for doing whatever you feel like doing. They truly love you. And it's a missed alarm.
Amen.
God was using this as another alarm. Hey, the watchmen aren't telling them. The watchmen aren't doing their job. I'm taking the righteous. I'm letting them perish. And I hope this is the last alarm that will make them say, hey, something's going on here. I need to consider my ways. I need to consider death. And I need to be aware that God is the only one that I need in my life to save me from this. And yet, it was a missed alarm. They did not get the message, and destruction did come later on because they didn't repent. They continued in their ways. They continued in their sin. And so I think that we, in all of these experiences that we go, death is just something that is going to affect all of us. We're going to have a family member. We're going to have somebody close to us, and we're even going to see public things that affect us. Death is real. Death is an enemy. Death is something that is hurtful. The thing is, though,
Amen.
We as believers have real hope even in death.
Amen.
And that's the amazing thing. Paul actually tells us to comfort one another with the words that he gives us, because he tells us death for the believer is kind of like a sleep, because we're just resting for a little while, and Jesus one day is going to raise up our bodies and we're going to live together with him. This is what the believer is expecting to happen. This is what's going to happen to all those that are in Jesus Christ, and we can actually have hope in death, because death is defeated by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Death couldn't hold Jesus. They killed Jesus, but on the third day, he rose again victoriously.
Amen.
I mean, he rose triumphant over all those powers that thought they had won. He was triumphant, and now he says, hey, I'm the resurrection, and I can resurrect you.
Amen.
So there's victory in Jesus Christ even over death.
Amen.
Even though death is such a tragedy, Jesus still has the strength to save us from that. And so we should respond to death in a correct manner. It does hurt. It is tragic. All death is tragic. Even the death of your enemies is tragic. Be careful rejoicing. Be careful just in any sense rejoicing when something bad happens to your enemies. Because, hey, that's not a good way to live, to act. You should be caring for others, and especially their souls. And when death comes, there is no more opportunity for them to be saved. So death should be responded to in the right way. And death, we should consider the life that we're living. Amen. And we should have a resolve not to waste the time that God has given us. So, what are you doing for God? Because He's given you life. And this is the reality. Every day that you wake up, you have to say, your mercies are new every morning. Amen. And you're alive because God has allowed you to have life. And it should be something you're grateful for. And it should be something that makes you desire to not waste time and to do something for Him. Because all you have is right now. The present. This is your time to do something for God. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God tells us that. Jesus says that. Even James tells us that. We don't know. We don't know. And we're not going to be false teachers that are just telling everybody, hey, life is good and we can live and just eat, drink, and be merry. And tomorrow we're going to do the same thing. Jesus says one day, as in the days of Noah, this is how the end is going to be. Jesus is going to come back. Just like that time when they thought everything was okay, He's going to come back. And it's going to be too late for them. If you're a sinner, which we all are, and you're living in sin and you're comfortable without God in your life, you're in a dangerous spot.
Amen.
And you need to realize that death is real. And the worst thing about death is that it takes away any opportunity that you have to trust in Jesus Christ. Because one day you're going to be judged by God, and He's going to judge you according to your works, which are not good. And He's going to send you and cast you into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And this is the real thing. God wants to save you from that. And you can be saved while you're alive. You can be saved today if you want to be saved. You can be saved right now. It's through the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so, when you're considering death, ponder your ways, ponder your path, consider what you're doing, and consider your life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you need Him today. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to anybody here that knows their Bible, anybody here that's saved. You can talk to them and ask them, how can I be saved? Because listen, if you're saved, you want to spread that good news to somebody else. And anybody who's saved will gladly tell you how to be saved through Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. So let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer as we end this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You and we praise You because every day that we have is a gift from You. We know that, Lord, and we're grateful that You have given us life. We pray that You would be with us as we make decisions, as we have to navigate through life, Lord. We ask for us to be strong as we feel pressure on different sides. We ask especially for our young people and our children that are having to make really important decisions, and they have a lot of pressure on them, Lord. I pray that You would open their eyes to the truths, especially the truths of the gospel, Lord. I pray that You'd give them understanding of what a good life is, and that is a life in You. Lord Jesus, we thank You for giving us Your righteousness, and now we thank You that You've put us on the path of righteousness, and You want us to walk it, Lord. We ask that You would help us as we go through this. We do remember those that have passed away, and those that have even been murdered in these past few weeks, Lord. We just pray for their families. We ask that You would open their eyes if they're not saved, and we ask that You'd give them comfort in this passing. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.